Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, and
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, heard here and on great stations all around the country. It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition, and Jim Bob excited to have on the line a beloved Chiefs player, acclaimed broadcaster, Hall of Famer, right?
It's our killer guest, Billy Moss. This is a beast on the field, okay? He's going to be etched in Chiefs royalty here. He's going to the Ring of Honor induction. He's going to be in the Chiefs Hall of Fame coming up here by Billy Moss.
What's going on, guys?
Now, Bill, of course, you know, the ultimate achievement is, you know, induction into a Hall of Fame, but every great Hall of Fame career starts, at least in the NFL, with draft day, and you had a pretty big one of those.
Yeah, you did. Here's the deal, is that we're the draft all weekend, and I was talking to Billy after the first day and so forth. And so, Billy, take us back to your draft day. I don't even want to announce the year. It dates us too much. But in 1984, first round, and here the Chiefs are coming up with the fifth pick in the draft. Tell me what was going on.
Yeah, so it was unbelievable time. And that at that point in time, it was – the draft was like one day, and it was like 12 rounds, I think. So it started at 5:30 in the morning. And so we had to get up pretty early. I didn't go to New York for it. I just was at my house in Philadelphia, and I got a phone call. The phone rang early, and it was Clark Hunt. And he told me that they're taking me the fifth pick, and we were watching the television, and there it was. So it was a pretty cool feeling. I didn't know much about Kansas City. They didn't really come in and talk with me or work me out prior to the draft. I thought I was either going to go to Philadelphia, which was at 4, or San Diego, which was at 6. And I was thinking, wow, I'll either be in my hometown of Philadelphia or I'm going to be on the beach. So this is pretty cool. And Kansas City was in between them, and they grabbed me. And yeah, it turned out great. I had a great career here, and was honored to get inducted into the Chiefs Ring of Honor here this weekend. So it was pretty awesome. I told Clark Hunt, I said, two of the greatest phone calls I've ever gotten in my life were from your family, from your father and from you. So yeah, it was a neat deal.
So Bill, you know, people watching it on television, and they've certainly, the NFL has turned the draft into a fan facing event, not only in person, but TV. But one of the universal things, and I'm sure it was the same when you were drafted as well, is that it feels like there's just release of emotion from these players, you know, their entire life, you know, in the backyard playing and all that college career. And then it culminates with, wow, you know, you ultimately made it. Talk a little bit about that. Was that something that you were expecting? Did that happen to you? Were you like, wow, you know, we finally reached it?
Yeah. You know, at that time, I think it was a day and age in which you put so much into it because that was your avenue for success. To be able to get to the NFL meant, you know, you're going to make a nice paycheck. And that was the only paycheck. I mean, hell, I might have stayed at school. They're paying the NIL. They're paying now and not going into the draft. Right?
Isn't that the truth? Well, you know, Billy.
No, it's a reality.
Yeah, that's a great segue, too, because, you know, one of my questions for you was early on when you go to rookie camp and you're in preseason, is there a thought that comes across your mind and go, damn, I really belong in the NFL. What I saw last night on stage, every one of those first, you know, 30 some picks, those guys already all felt that they belonged in the NFL. I mean, things have changed. I mean, but you know, when you got drafted, we didn't have all the pomp and circumstance, all this exposure now. But those kids that we watched last night, to me, they all said, yeah, I belong here. I'm ready to go. Did you ever have any doubt when you got drafted that you belonged in the NFL?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that each and every year fear and doubt are great motivators in my life. I mean, I was always I think when you're 18 years old and 20 years old or whatever, you're always thinking like, where do I fit in? And you don't actually know what the next level is going to be like until you're thrown into the middle of it. It's like, you know, jump in the pool or jump in the ocean. You're going to sink or swim and you got to figure it out, you know, and I think it's a lot tougher now to come out because that teaching period in college is so trimmed down. The time they can spend on the field in practice, the 20-hour rule, I mean, that's it cuts back on what you're doing or what you're able to be taught. And then, you know, with a collective bargaining agreement, the way it is in the NFL, you don't have much more time there. So you don't have time to hone your skills with your coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to kind of go out there and try to figure it out. And if you can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these guys, we see it year in and year out, right? There's 32 of them in the draft. Well, more than half of them are going to be failures. Mm-hmm. Well, and it, you know, I mean, we see it every year.
Well, speaking of that, you know, you were a first rounder and you were the fifth pick. And so did you feel that pressure from that first round pick? Like, you know, I'm wondering if these, you know, these 32 guys this year, are they going to feel the same pressure that you felt? What was your personal pressure, you know, in regards right away? Did you thrive off that? Was that an expectation you had for yourself? As I'm the first rounder, I got to go do this?
No, I didn't know. I mean, everything is new. Every locker room you go into is new. Every trip you take, every stadium you play in, everything is a new experience when you're a rookie and it's coming at you so fast. And so you really just had to hone in on, and here you're trying to, you know, move to the city and trying to find a place to live and all the other things that go along with your day-to-day life. And it's a whirlwind your first year as a way everything just thrown at you. So you just got to, you know, put your head to the grindstone and keep plowing through. And that's what I did.
But after that rookie year, though, I mean, it changes so fast. I mean, your rookie year, and I told everybody, I go, it comes at you so fast. I mean, the way they taught you was fast. I mean, the pace of NFL versus college was so fast. And to me, it was like a whirlwind. But after that first year, I mean, you're through all the rookie stuff and it's almost like you go from being a freshman to almost a junior.
Yeah.
Pretty fast, man.
when it came to expectations, and you mentioned sink or swim, so obviously you don't want to sink. And these days, and probably even when you were there, that first pick gives a little measure of security, right? They're gonna give you a little bit of a leash and try to work with you to succeed. But after the first year, and did you have goals? Were you thinking rookie of the year? Were you thinking that you had to do a certain amount to make the team or at least prove that you belonged?
Honestly, it was all a shock, and the season ended, and we'd climbed from whatever there were, 2 wins, or the year before, we ended up 8-8, and our defense got better and improved, and we broke the sack record that year with Art Still, Mike Bell, and myself. I think it was a 56 at the time, and and so at the end of the year, I was back home, and I get a telegram, because that's what they did back then.
Smoke signal.
Like a horse rode up.
Paul Revere, I know, got a smoke signal.
I know that I was NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, and I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then I found out, like, I had an incentive in my contract. Yeah. If I got that, I got an extra $5,000.
Yeah, today it's like 500 grand.
I know, right? Yeah,
it's $1 million deal, buddy.
This time you got dinner.
Yeah. Hey, you know, talking about those memories, I mean, you are named now into the Chiefs Hall of Fame, and that's, you know, that's the ring, that's the legacy, that's the forever club. And, you know, me and Dino, when you called us about it, we were so excited what it means to you personally. What do you want people to remember about Bill Moss, the player?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know if there's many people around that are still alive that remember, but, you know, what did Lombardi say? If football is not a game, it's a life. It's a lifestyle. And I encumbered all of that. I mean, I lived, breathed, ate it every single day. I gave everything I had to, and that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, it was, you know, when you play in as many years as you did, I did it, and playing nose tackle, I mean, that's a haul now. I found out the other night that I played more snaps in nose tackle than anybody in Chiefs history.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, so Clark told me that. So I was there. I showed up and I didn't miss many games, and I laid it all on the line. And we went from a team in the 80s that when they drafted me, they had 2 wins that year, and then we got an 8-8. We got better every single year. We got a little better, a little better. Marty Schottenheimer came in, and we got better. We were in the wild card. Then we were in the playoffs. And then we get to the divisional round. And, you know, it just every year it got better and better. So when I got drafted, I knew if I went high, I was going to try to be a fixture that helped turn an organization around. And if I went late, that I was going to a team that was already good and I could help carry on the tradition of being good. So that's the mindset I had when I went in as a rookie, and it's all come to fruition here sometime here in 2025. It's pretty cool.
You think about the measure of success for an NFL career, and I think everybody would agree, even just getting to the league is just so hard, right? And that is, you know, that 1% club, and to have success. And there's players that aren't maybe on paper statistically longevity as good as you, but maybe, you know, got to Super Bowls, won Super Bowls.
Right.
I feel like you're comfortable with what you did and how you did it. And certainly you've gotten a lot of recognition over the years and at this far, you know, past the career, but the Hall of Fame, that recognition from the outside, from the team, from the fan base, does that change how you felt about your career? Or are you just thinking, okay, yeah, I know I was good, and now it's validated?
Validation's a great word. It kind of puts a stamp of approval on what you did and your efforts. I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you're in grade school and you get your test back from your teacher and it has a gold star on top of it, right?
Don't you think it's a little more than that, though, honestly?
He's trying to relate to everyone.
It just feels good. I mean, it validates. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just a validation. That was a great word, Dan. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. It just stamps. It says, like, yeah, I was here, and you were one of the pillars.
You got the gold star. You got the gold star.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, you know, speaking of, we'll move to this year's draft and everything, but, you know, the defensive linemen, we'll talk about some of those, but, you know, I watched the draft, and, you know, you and I talked a little bit about, do you think, for example, on the defensive linemen these days, do you think they're coached differently than when you played? You think it's more, you know, more about speed and finesse today than power and grit? I mean, it's a different flavor of the game. You and I talked about it. I mean, hey, you know, they brought Sexy back in the running back position last year with Philadelphia, and what they did with Saquon Barkley is that everybody now, I mean, I thought the Raiders were Gentry. They got that pick. Everybody was like, oh, you know, they could have done something else with it. But, man, you know, you look at what they've got with Bowers and now with Gentry. I mean, I think that what the Raiders are doing is they're building that, going back to those old days when they had Marcus Allen, those guys who goes, hey, baby, just win, baby. Let's just go deep. Let's open
Raiders.
Up. Yeah, Raiders. I mean, so you think they're coached different than you were?
Well, yeah, especially defensive line. I mean, the game has changed. It's not, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore, right? Or 3 plays, then it's all a cloud of dust. It's pass. It's pass rush. It's explosion. It's, you know, it's all about how quick you can blow up the middle and get past a guard or center, or how fast you can get around the edge. And this draft is just top round. 18 linemen were taken.
That's what I was getting 18. At. Yeah, 18.
18 linemen, offense or defense, but they're linemen. I mean, that's generally you're looking at all specialty players, and I think the emphasis is changing a little bit. You know, when they picked that running back entry, I mean, that's, you know, Saquon Barkley and Philadelphia Eagles were an anomaly. They really are, because you don't have enough time to practice the run game because you the padded practices. You have to run inside drill with padded practice to get a good feel of how you work together as an offensive line. And, you know, they don't have padded practices. There's only 16 for the whole entire year, including training camp, okay? So when do you practice live blocking? You don't. They just simulate it. Well, you can't simulate that, and you can't simulate a tackle. You have to be able to tackle to learn how to tackle. So all that's gone. So, you know, you can draft Gentry, but if your offensive lineman isn't damn good and can run block, what do you really have?
Yeah.
a good running back, right? I mean, so.
And that was the knock on the draft. That was, that's why that a lot of people gave that. I mean, he's a great player, but they gave the draft pick a C. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I mean, he's a great player, I think. But the reason they did is exactly what you just said. He goes, well, they needed to fix the line before they get a running back like this.
Right.
I mean, and you know, look at, I mean, but I go like this. I go, Barry Sanders did pretty good. I'm not going to say the Lions line was horrible or bad because I'm out of respect to those guys, but you know, they weren't the most acclaimed offensive line.
Would you say non-existent?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just run around.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe that Barry played for like the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, right?
Oh, my God.
Was rushing all those yards.
I mean, how many yards would he have had for sure?
He'd still be running.
What do you think about some of the draft picks? Let's go through them. I mean, were you okay with, I mean, Cam Ward's good. He was worthy of a number one pick, in my opinion, I guess, at quarterback. But it's not like I'm like going, oh, wow, Cam Ward is going to really change things and be dynamic right out of the gate. I mean, going through the draft pick, as you mentioned, I mean, we had one running back, which was Gentry, in the entire first round. And the Packers finally come through for a quarterback and draft a wide receiver in the first round, and they haven't, which they haven't done in like the last 30
over 20 years.
Yeah,
easy.
Over 20 years for sure. Your overall assessment on the draft, what surprised you?
You know, Cam Ward was the best quarterback in the draft. You know, that's the most important position in the NFL. Now, is this a good quarterback class? Yet to be seen, but I don't think so. So he has a lot of the same skill sets that Patrick Mahomes has. You know, I know that's a big word when they say Patrick Mahomes, but look at, he's got the speed, he's got the elusiveness, he's got the arm strength that you've seen in his career. He looks like a magician at times. I think he sees the field extremely well, like Patrick does. He has all those qualities. So, you know, Tennessee has got their big challenge of how they use him, how they coach him. That's going to be their big deal. You know, the Shedeur Sanders thing, you know, everybody thought that's such a surprise. And I really wasn't that surprised, you know, that he dropped. You know, when I watched him, you know, they talk about his accuracy, but when I watched him, he's a guy, he's not as big as Cam. He's not as fast as Cam. He doesn't have the arm that Cam has. And every time he threw a ball, I've never seen a spiral. Mm-hmm. You watched him throw the football. It's not a spiral. It's like a wobbly knuckleball. And, you know, look, when you have Cleveland, Pittsburgh, New York Giants, these are the blue bloods of the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Blue blood. And if they're passing on you, when you have Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickens in Cleveland and Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson in Pittsburgh, and they're not choosing you, there's something there.
Do you think some of it, Billy? I agree with you.
I don't think it's his dad.
Okay, because that's where I was going. I mean, do you think some of the team thought, if we get him, we get his dad, we got to deal with that? You don't think that happened?
Well, I think it does swing a bat. I mean, look, I mean, he has had the public eye and perception as Neon Deion going back to 1988, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that down. He can sway the crowd, so to say. And do you want that hanging over your head or your franchise or your coaches? Yeah, I don't know, but he's also proven to be a winner every place he's been to. So I don't think that was the holdup with 32 passing on him.
I think that now you have teams kind of looking at more that complete player. They're more of a focus on the mental side of things and the character side of things. And what are we getting as a total picture outside of the talent or physical abilities? And I don't think you can extract just that life experience of the Deion situation from him. There's a report out, it's an anonymous coach, so we don't necessarily know who it is or whatever. Yeah. But the interviews that he had were off-putting to the coaches, you know, because they're going to have to deal with him, work with him, go through adversity. And they said that, you know, there's a sense of entitlement. There's, you know, not accepting responsibility. And those are red flags, because ultimately there's a lot of talented players, but you know, you want someone that you can work with, and I don't know, they think they can.
Yeah. And it's a big investment too. So, and look, you know, he might go to Cleveland. They're in the market for it. I mean, there's still a story to be written, but you know, sometimes this is a good thing for a guy, you know? Look, I can think of a ton of Super Bowl winning quarterback. Where do you want me to start? Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Joe Flacco, Brad Johnson. I mean, I
Tom Brady. Let's start with the number. Yeah. What was he, fifth or sixth round? Fifth or sixth round?
Yeah, you can go through and I mean, there's a ton of players that weren't drafted that became Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And they slipped for whatever reason. How about Aaron Rodgers? He slipped. How about Dan Marino? He slipped. And a bunch of guys slipped and became great players at the quarterback position. So it may be a blessing for him.
What do you think of moving here close to WGN home and everything in Illinois? What do you think of the Bears pick with Colston Loveland? I personally loved it. I thought that he was a better pure tight end. I thought Warren is a great athlete. I'm not for sure what Warren's really great at. He's good at a lot of things. But I thought that, I think Loveland is a tight end pass receiver. I thought Tyler Warren, who was a great athlete and probably higher rated and so forth, that was a pick I would have taken. But what do you think of that Loveland pick?
Look, Chicago pretty close to Michigan there. They probably got a good feel for him. I'm sure they know coaches and have the inside skinny on them, and they like him. I think it's all about how you use them. I thought the best tight end in the draft was Tyler Warren from Penn State, too.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's something now, you know, when that occurs, when you take that and you know that you're going to be compared to that throughout, you know, the next 4 or 5 years. You know, because you took him over Warren. I think Warren was had more notoriety maybe as a tight end, you know, on television a lot more, I think, a lot more plays made. And so, it'll be interesting to see. Those two will be compared to each other all through their career. But that's kind of the fun part of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, there was defensive linemen that came out when I came out and where they got picked. And everybody's trying to see who's where are you slotted? Where are you going to end up? So. Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun.
Moving to the Packers, you know, keeping everything kind of, I mean, after decades of not taking a wide receiver, Dane and Billy, is that round one, I was probably the most shocked person, you know, in the middle of the draft yesterday when they announced, what do you guys think of that?
Matthew Golden, he's a hell of a player. And I think that was a good pickup for him. I like the pick. Look, Jordan Love's got to be ecstatic, right? And the things they've gone through up there at that position, you know, again, you have to look at it and say, these guys that are out there, about the Egbuka from Ohio State, right? He went to Tampa Bay,
right?
A couple of picks before that. Those guys will get compared all the time. The kid from Arizona, McMillan, all those guys are going to get compared to each other. So I think given that situation, though, Golden has got the best situation because I think he's got the best quarterback.
He led the FBS in plus 20-yard receptions with 23, and he was the fastest wide receiver in the combine. I think it's a great pick for the Packers.
Well, Bill, I want to get your thoughts on this, too, as far as like teams and just sort of the institutional success of the programs. Is the Packer fans had like three or four wide receivers come out that made impacts and were good, that just were like, you know, off the radar. So to have a guy that's prominent, that has already recognized talent there, I think it's great. And you look at the way that even on the quarterback side, the way the Packers have developed quarterbacks and had so much success. Conversely to the Bears, you know, Sid Luckman, I think, is still statistically the best quarterback ever. But same with the Chiefs, right? You know, they've got a system. They're able to bring people along and make them successful.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big boost for Green Bay. But again, I go back and I'm thinking about this draft. We're talking about the draft as a whole. In today's day and age, right, when all these kids that are coming out, all they've been exposed to since they've been playing football is the 7-on-7 camps and it's passing and receiving and passing and receiving, right? And then, and you look at this draft and the way the college game is played, wide open. And you look at this draft and you're telling me 18 linemen were taken and only three wide receivers in the first round? Mm-hmm. That's mind-blowing to me. It really is.
Well, Billy, here's the deal. From all of us, man, I want to thank you. And you know I love you. And I want to thank you for the way that you played the game. I mean, you represented the Chiefs and you represented the Packers and you continue to inspire the fans with your words and your history and the young players and the entire football community. And so, you know, being a first rounder is rare and being defensive rookie of the year is rare. And then you're all pro honors, but Your name now in the Ring of Honor when we go to Arrowhead, buddy. That's forever. And man, I am so proud and happy for you. You defined what it should be like to be in playing that position for a generation. And the generation I grew up in, hey man, this is how you played, you know, head up, zero technique at the nose, and you took on and you ate up double teams. So just congratulations. It's an incredible honor for you to be in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. You've earned every single bit of it, bro. And here's to your legacy, here's to your grit, and here's to a game and a life well played, my man. I love you.
Thank you, brother. I love you. We'll have some El Bandito to celebrate when I see you.
I told you. And then here's the thing is that following up on this is that, man, Billy, the days we used to ride the bicycles from the locker room down to Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
And you that was great. So this year, I'm taking you, me, you, Dino, and the girls, we're coming up here and we're going to go do a, you're going to see how much Green Bay has transitioned. Dane and I were in the middle of this last night talking about needing a nose tackle. The fans were so damn, I mean, yes. You know, they're crazy, Billy. I mean, everybody wants to be up front and they're pushing you and shoving you and they're drunk and everything. I go, this is where we need Bill Moss right here. it's unbelievable transformation. There was 200,000 people here last night in the parking lot on the east side. It was absolutely crazy. I wish you were here to join us.
Let's do it, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, congratulations, all right, buddy. Bill. Thanks
see
so
you
much.
Thanks, yep. See you. Yep.